Hello, welcome to a special presentation from Radio Chomsky to bring to light human rights abuses in Aceh, Indonesia over the last 10 years and to find out how things are going since the tsunami.
All right.
This afternoon we have Zulfikar, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, Zulfikar is.
This is from Aceh, and as most people would remember, that was near the epicenter of a massive tsunami more than a year ago, just over a year ago. Today, I'm going to ask Zulfikar to introduce himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, my name is Zulfikar. I come from Aceh. And in Aceh, I working in the Human Rights Commission, and in there I'm a study too. I study in one of university in Aceh, but I have a time to come to New Zealand to visit New Zealand. So I think it's everything is different. Yeah, I think that's.
We also have here Angelique. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Angelique Kasmara, and I'm a member of the Indonesia Human Rights Committee in New Zealand, and the Auckland branch was basically helped, you know, Zulfikar come over for English lessons and to spend time in Auckland. And
okay, great, thank you. And Zulfikar, what was it like growing up in Aceh?
If we're talking about what's happening in Aceh before the tsunami, it's very, very difficult because it's like the media is not independent. They didn't independent. And if you are talking like someone want to visiting like that, the country want visiting Aceh, they cannot because the Aceh is closed. That they open for everybody.
Why is it closed?
Because it's the condition is conflict. So the military is scared. They scare when somebody come to visiting Aceh, and they know what happening in Aceh. So like a lot of people died in Aceh. We don't have law. We don't have good like economic education, everything. Because you know is the conflict in Aceh is very long time. They began in 1976. Until 2004, so we can imagine how many people was died, how about our education in Aceh, yeah, how about our life, and every people in Aceh was trauma about the conflict in Aceh.
So how did you become a human rights activist?
Before I be the activist, I'm a student and I never thinking about what happened in Aceh. And when I young, I won't be a military. I very love Indonesia, but when after I'm study in the senior high school, and I know I try to understand what happened in Aceh, and then I don't know what I must do. Maybe be an activist is the last answer for me, and then I began to report some like the victim of conflict. And I sent to some friend in Banda Aceh and other place in Jakarta, and until today I do that.
Right, and how openly were the issues discussed at university, you know, within lectures?
Yes, especially about English, but I study English only for safety myself. It mean like only. When the military sweeping on the street, I can show my identity card. So they ask me, what are you doing? I'm a student. So sometimes it's not be a problem for me if I want to work of one of some three villages in Aceh.
Can you describe how things changed for you after you decided to be a human rights activist and after the Indonesian military knew who you were? And
I think it's very, very strong. Because you know, they're talking if the activist, the Human Rights Commission, the human rights activist is similar like a movement in Aceh. So we are very, very strong for working. They don't care you activist or not. They don't care you live or not. It sometimes it's pure trouble. They can kidnap you. Nobody can protect you. This is happening in Aceh. So, like we're working, we try to get some information. We must very carefully. Like me, the example, when the emergency military, I cannot come back to my village for 2 years. Two years, I cannot come back to my village. You know, because I'm scared, the military can kidnap me. They kidnap me. So I try to move to the other village for, escape. Not to run away, like, to the other parts in Aceh, but in my town. Forget some, like, the information about the victim of conflict.
How have things changed since the tsunami?
If you're talking about the tsunami, yes. The first, after the tsunami, the Aceh opened. So, many people can come to Aceh. They can come to Aceh, they can see to Aceh. And if we know is the tsunami is very hard for the people in Aceh because 100,000 people lose in Aceh. They died or missing. But the situation is after the tsunami is when somebody can visit into Aceh, the military, they not try to surround the people in Aceh like before. So they stay in the post. So before the tsunami, it's very, very hard for the people like want to walk to the other parts in Aceh. But after the tsunami, it's a change. They open us.
Well, I suppose that's positive.
Yeah, it's a positive.
Have you noticed any significant changes since the peace agreement?
I think only 60%. Because I look at the situation in Aceh is very, very, very quickly for peace agreement. Because now it's very, I think 20 years more the conflict in Aceh, but suddenly the peace agreement, why we come? Why in 2001, when the Henry Dunant Center come to Aceh, they make a peace agreement, they can be broken. Why today, very quickly, can be a peace agreement in Aceh? I think the government in Indonesia, they know is today, if they can make a peace agreement quickly because a lot of money come to Aceh. So they want a peace agreement. I think that's in my mind. Because we have some case, some problem. In 1972, I think, when the Abu Daud Bre, is the conflicts for a long time with the government in Jakarta, in Java. And for the last time is the peace agreement too, like happening today in Aceh. So it's like a similar case. And when the peace agreement in 2004, many of the government in Jakarta, they don't agree. Like, we can give example like the President Megawati, Gus Dur, they don't agree about the peace agreement in Aceh. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that the CIA had involvement in funding and supplying arms to the Indonesian government for their involvement in East Timor. Do you think it's the same case?
Oh yeah, we have the same case. Really, really same. And very, very hard.
I also heard that the CIA have funded dictators, so to bring working conditions that are favorable to the United States, they suppress the people, kill off any dissenting opinion. Is this also the case?
I cannot answer that because maybe I give some explanation. It's like if we are comparison is about what happened in East Timor is very, very similar. The happening is a lot of people die. the lose of a generation about education, the economy, and like the government in I think United States they closed and they not to give like the weapon for Indonesian military. After the tsunami, I think they open again the relationship between the military, United States, yes, between the Indonesia government.
Has aid for the tsunami reached the right places?
Oh yeah. I think if I looking at more than 100 aid come to Aceh to help the people in there. Yeah. But it's very, very best. It's the best if they won't do alone or they join with the NGO in Aceh or the like LSM, we can talking LSM, is the like, is a small NGO in Aceh.
Could then you describe LSM?
LSM is a Lembaga Swadaya Masyarakat. It's like the people communities. Mm-hmm. So in like in Banda Aceh, in the Lok Semame, they have the community too. Then they're working with the government. Sometimes, you know, what happened in Indonesia, the corruptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been in Auckland for 3 months now.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back, what do you plan to do?
Maybe the important for me, the first I want to tell to everybody in Aceh, how about the condition in Auckland? The one of small country, but it's very, very democratic. Democracy in Auckland is very different in if I compare in Indonesia. They're talking if they have a democracy law, but you know, it's very, very difficult, very, very different. So I want to share that information. Maybe I want to try to teach some student in there to try to get to learning a lot of improve to English language. So I think the very, very important, like for the communication. I compare with myself before I come to New Zealand. I thinking like the education is not very important for me, but that's wrong. When I come here and saw with myself, I see education is very, very important. Like me today, I don't have a good pronunciation. I don't have a lot of vocabulary, so it's make me trouble. Sometimes I won't talk a lot what happened in Aceh, but I cannot because I don't have good the pronunciation or vocabulary. Only when I come to New Zealand, I try to speak English. I try to conversation to speaking, but not before that. So very, very hard.
Well, how optimistic are you about the future?
If about myself, I don't know. Like somebody in New Zealand asked for me, are you scared working the Human Rights Commission in Aceh? I talking, oh. For the first time, yes. But the second, if everybody is silent and sit, I think what happened in Aceh is that can always together do have in Aceh. But they need to someone to wake up and can to report, can to speak, can to share what happened in Aceh. That is very important. And if we're talking about the futures, I think it's the best today is the. Because a lot of people know, they know where is Aceh, they know is what happening in Aceh. After the tsunami, I think everything is open. Very, very different when before the tsunami. I think we when we're talking to share about the condition in Aceh, somebody asked, Aceh is a food or is a drink? Because they don't know. But after the tsunami, it's very, very different.
Well, how could we contribute to a peaceful Aceh?
I think the importance for our future is how the people in the other countries can the monitoring about the peace agreement in Aceh.
Monitoring the peace agreement?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes. It is very important.
Does that mean sending peacekeepers?
Yes. Why not? We must try to do that. because that's very, very important.
Yeah, because at the moment what is being done in terms of monitoring the peace agreement is...
Speak up.
Shall I say it again? At the moment, what is being done in terms of monitoring the peace agreement, you know, is there much in place to ensure that it's enforced? Like, is enforced the right word?
I think, like, how somebody can come to attend for the monitoring peace agreement, I think it's very, very important, because if nobody can the monitoring about the peace agreement between Indonesia and the movement in Aceh, we are scared if the conflict can become again. Because you know, it's the very, very long time, the conflict in Aceh, and the military is very easy for come to Aceh, and you know, like the case today in Aceh, not only conflict, they're logging too in Aceh, they're cutting a lot of trees in Aceh.
Logging.
Yes, logging. That is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very, very important for someone come to Aceh for monitoring about the peace agreement.
Well, going back 20 years, what were the roots of this conflict?
Mm-hmm.
How did the conflict start?
I think if the conflict started, the first is about the case about the economy. The economy, because if I give the example, when the Sukarno first president, they come to Aceh, they're talking with the people in Aceh, and they need the people in Aceh help to contribute something for the Indonesian government. And you know, the people in Aceh support some like gold money for they buy airplanes, the Selawat airplane, and now it's a big Garuda Indonesia Airlines. But before that, the people in Aceh support 2 airplanes for Indonesia. But after that, the government in Jakarta, they forget what happened in Aceh, and they don't care about the people in Aceh. Like we have Arun LNG, we have Exxon Mobil in Aceh. 19% money is come to Jakarta. Only maybe 3 or 6% they come to Aceh for building the capacity in Aceh. So you can imagine how we can see it is beside the big factory. Is the people is very, very poor. We only watching. We cannot work in the factory. They talking if we don't have skill.
So who would they hire for the factories? Would it be
like the people in there? I think only be only security in the people in Aceh.
Mm.
They working on the security. They cannot like working on site. But yes, after the conflict is very, very long time. It's, yeah, very, very hard for the people to try to work to get a job in there. But when they try to build first time the factory in Aceh, they talking if 65% is the worker in come from Aceh and 25% is the other of Aceh. But it's very, very different. Very, very different. When they work, very, very different. 95% I think it's come from the other parts in Indonesia, and only 5% it's come from Aceh. So you can imagine many, many people, they don't have work. So if somebody talking if a movement in Aceh is nobody support, I think that's very wrong. Because it's the problem is in Aceh is the problem of the people.
What are the wages like in these factories?
Gas, LNG is oil. We have oil, sorry.
The wages, gaji.
Oh, salary.
Yeah.
Salary.
Yeah,
yes.
Salary. Oh, yeah. Maybe about, if you're talking in there, about around 1 billion or 1 juta. What are we comparing here?
Oh.
Maybe around $300 or $500?
$400.
$400, maybe. For 1 month.
For 1 month. Mm. So that's so that, rupiah.
Right? Yes.
Rupiah. So about 400 rupiah.
No, $400 for 1 month.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Mm.
What dollars? New Zealand?
New Zealand, yeah.
Really?
Yep. Mm. 400.
Mm. That would seem to be higher than the sweatshop factories in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, that is a big, the big one in Asia, I think. In the LNG and ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil
everywhere,
aren't they?
Is there oil in Aceh?
Yeah, oil. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the reason, yes.
Yeah.
And what has been the impact of the conflict in terms of the social impacts, economic impacts, and political life in Aceh?
If we're talking about social impacts, we know it's like the people in Aceh, they don't, if they won't get some like a small party, they must report first time to the military. So now it's very, very hard, the mm-hmm. impact. And the second impact is like the cultures. The culture in Aceh is make be broke because it's the conflict. So like the people won't do something, they must report. So I think it's very, very terrible for mm-hmm. the people in there. Like someone won't get a wedding and they must report. So, you know, it's very, very hard. And then the military come to your wedding and watching what happened in there and they have a weapon. So not, don't like a party, but like in a jail. Everything like in a jail.
Oh dear. Military rule.
Yeah, of course.
Oh dear.
In until every village, they have the military post. You can imagine.
So what was the ratio of military to civilians in Aceh?
It's like, you can give an example. It's mean like
oh, kind of, so for every Indonesian military,
mm-hmm.
how many Acehese,
oh.
That's a better way of saying.
Local oh. citizens.
Yeah. When the, I think if I compare, it's only, 10% in 100% is the soldier in Aceh, come from Aceh.
Out of 10 people, one would be military?
No.
The other way?
Yeah, maybe 10%.
Only military, only
10%.
Person.
Only 10%. In 100%, only 10%. You know what I mean? Like in one, maybe in one, but one group, in 100 military, maybe 2% of the people in Aceh.
2%. That's incredible.
Yes, 2 or 3, because very, very hard. You know, it's, they're talking if the people in Aceh are military, they're scared. They're very scared.
It's astounding. I had no idea things were like that in Aceh.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because in this country, the media
mm-hmm.
is not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
The media is silent on what's happening in this in Aceh, and I think it's because of the news sources, the international news sources, CNN and Reuters. But what's your opinion?
I think they're just concerned about the, like they're the media. They're just concerned about the conflict, but they don't try to get some like the specification about the military. So. Yeah, I think it's very, very important to share like the information or the about the military in Indonesia, especially in Aceh, the force in Aceh. Like I can give some example. We have the big post military in Aceh. We say it's Kodam Iskandar Muda. But a lot of people a lot of soldiers in the Kodam Iskandar Muda that come from the other part in Aceh. So you can imagine, they don't care if the military, they don't care when he coming to occupy the other people, the other village, because they didn't know about like your culture. They didn't care. So very similar, like one country come to the other country and then they occupy. They don't care about the religion, they don't care about the everything. So even like the military that come from Aceh, they care, they understand how they come first time, how they, when they meet some people in there. So very, very terrible.
What do you think of the media in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, the media is, I think, very, very independent. Independent. Why I say that? I say like that. If something happened, they're talking and they're writing about the truth, what happened. In Aceh, is what happening? If they record, they report, the military always ask, what are you talking today? They always ask to media. So they cannot work like peaceful in New Zealand. We see like the case of Munir, the activist in Jakarta, the murder. Until today, they don't know, they don't have the finish of what happened.
Yeah. Do you know about that case?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Munir was a human rights activist, and on a Garuda plane from Jakarta to Switzerland.
Netherlands.
Netherlands.
Yeah.
Netherlands. He was poisoned and died.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think they convicted one Garuda pilot, but obviously he was this. Pilot was a scapegoat, and there was a huge plot surrounding it. But you know, nothing else was ever came out, did it?
Yeah. And before that, it's Munir very, very vocal about what happened in Aceh. They're the first time, and they have a contrast. It's very, very open when the first time the conflict in Aceh.
See, Aaron made a good point before the interview about, do you want to just mention how the tsunami coverage really sort of showed the bias in CNN, like according to, you know, how the proportion of Western tourists do?
Well, it was a comment about the amount of media coverage a story gets according to the colour of a person's skin or the country that they come from. It would seem that white people from first world countries faced with a similar disaster would get much more media coverage. And I'm thinking also about the recent catastrophe in Pakistan. The coverage was terrible. We didn't hear much of what went on, and the story was only in the news for a week or two, but the conflict, I mean, the problem is still going on.
It's very, very hard. I think it's similar to like the what happening in Aceh before the tsunami. Nobody know what happened in there, because the condition in Aceh, they close, they're not opening, and like the media are always talking about the beautiful Indonesia, they don't talking about what happening in Aceh, what happening in West Papua, what happening before in Estimo, or the other part in Indonesia. They just talking it's very beautiful Bali. I think every people in the other country they know is Bali, only Bali. They don't know what happening in Kalimantan, like logging today. So it's very, very terrible. But we need. For future, is a lot of the media is to report like what happening in Indonesia, especially the island, like Sumatra, Kalimantan, West Papua, and the other part. I think that is very, very important for future.
Jello Biafra coined the famous phrase, "Don't hate the media, become the media." If the media are doing a terrible job, then take that role, do the interviews, talk to the people, get the information out.
Very nice.
Yeah. And you know, when the conflict, we cannot easy to get some information for the people, because sometimes some media get some information, they're writing, and then they share to the public, and then the military write reading what happening in media, and then they come again to this village, and then they shoot the people to give us some information. So before that, it's very, very hard. Yeah, really, really hard.
One thing I wanted to ask was, I've read that the type of Islam practiced in Aceh is different mm-hmm. from in the rest of Indonesia. Now, how, what's your comment on that?
I think we are talking the Islam is similar, mm-hmm. but the different is we open it to everybody. Yes. We open it, and if somebody come to Aceh like today, someone that the country come to Aceh, the people in there is very welcome. They very 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 somebody come to visiting me, and I can share something. I can talking what happening in Aceh. So if somebody talking is they scared come to Aceh because in Acehese people is a lot of Muslim. I think it's not the answer, because the people in there is very welcome. Because the first is the problem in Aceh, not about religion, but about the economy, the first time.
That's interesting, because like I have read that there is a more radical form of Islam practice in Aceh, and I wonder if that's actually true, if that's just something to do with the fear of Islam now that, you know, the Western world has.
Yeah. They have a FPE from Pembela Islam. They come to Aceh after the tsunami, but they cannot come before the tsunami because the people don't agree when they come to Aceh. And after the tsunami, I think everybody come to Aceh, and the people in there, they don't look at what happened before. So if you're talking the people in Aceh, if they don't like FPE to Aceh today from Pembela Islam. You know, it's make the double the problem in Aceh. Because like in Aceh we have a church. This means it's gereja. It's mean
church,
yes, we have church. So we never listen like the bombing in Aceh about the church. When in the conflict become in 1976, we never listen about that. If you're talking about religion, why they don't bombing the church in Aceh? But the problem in Aceh, the problem is not about religion. The problem is between the government and the people in Aceh. Mm-hmm. Only that. Yeah.
Well, I've heard you've had to give up smoking because it is such an expensive habit in Aceh.
The first in Aceh, I smoking in one day for three pack. For one day, three pack. So when I come to New Zealand, I try to smoke. But when I know the education is very important, I try to stop smoking because I know smoking is not good for my health. Yes, the first, and the second is for my brain. And the third is yes, in New Zealand it's very expensive for smoking. And now I change to like to means. Yes, the first time is very, very hard for me because in there is three packs for one day, and when I come here to try to stop. Yeah, but I think I must do something. Yeah.
Do you have anything else you would like to add to this interview?
I think it's the first. Is how the media in New Zealand try to get a lot of information about what happening in Aceh, and the second is about what you said about the peace agreement in Aceh. They always must monitoring what happening in Aceh, like the government in New Zealand, because they have a superpower. They can talking with other countries in the world. So please for monitoring what happening in Aceh. And the third is if any somebody want help the people in Aceh about like the tsunami, about the conflict, please don't fear the government in Indonesia, because they very corruption. you know, that if you want help, please you come along with to Aceh or via the like LSM or NGO in here to try to support the people in Aceh.